The Value Project Podcast, adding as much value as possible to inspire our listeners to achieve more out of life. Buckle up, it's about to get real.
Welcome back to the Value Project Podcast. I am James Rowdy.
And I'm Nate Gresk.
And today we are joined by two legends and friends of ours. We've got Daniel here from NFT Melb and Max Strategies from Max Strategies.
Max from Max Strategies.
Boys.
Max from Max.
Welcome, boys.
We are at the height of Melbourne, aren't we, boys? This is a good recording spot.
Yeah, so we've switched it up a bit. So Nate and I used to record in a studio in Fitzroy. We've done that for a few times, first few episodes. And since changed apartments now, we decided, you know what, we'll go buy all the equipment and start doing it ourselves. So here we are. Welcome to my place. Welcome.
Pleasure to be here. This is a long time coming. It's been building up organically through all four of us talking about it, going to the live events, and now we're here in the abyss.
In the flesh, finally.
In the flesh.
I'm keen to get into today's topics. We're talking about NFTs on the way here. We're talking on the holistic side of who you are. So I'm keen to dive into all areas.
Yeah, absolutely. So I think what we want to do is I think all four of us have got really interesting journeys, right? And sort of how we've all come together is really, really beautiful and important. So I think this podcast, we sort of want to dive into how you guys got into, you know, NFT, Web3, crypto, when you started, and sort of like lead it into sort of, you know, how we all met and where we're going and what we're doing together individually and as a collective. So Daniel, NFT Melb, let's start with you, mate.
NFT Melb, how that came about? Well, should I start through the NFT journey myself?
Just tell the audience sort of where you started, how it came about. How did you hear about Web3, crypto, NFT? Like, what date did you start? How, you know, your curiosity and sort of how you built NFT Melb and go from there?
Probably 16 months ago, I heard about NFTs through Gary Vee. Pretty much his first post. As soon as he mentioned it, I educated myself. Googled it, started making videos on TikTok to try to learn myself, because the best way to learn is to teach others, I believe. So dived into deep, ended up buying some trash projects. I remember the first project that I ended up buying, I was driving on the freeway for work. A guy from the States said he was investing into the Navy, into NASA, and he was building all these tools. And you're young, you're stupid. So you're like, whatever. Okay, sounds good. It's something to do with anime and One Piece and this famous anime. So I pulled over in the middle of the country road, pulled out my laptop hotspot, and I'm buying this random project on Rarible for the first time.
For the first time ever.
First time ever.
First time.
It has absolutely no value.
And that's
no
your
value.
Introduction pretty much into...
Essentially. That was the first ever NFT I bought. I'd had Ethereum in the MetaMask, I'd understood that. This is the first time getting money and actually transferring into the blockchain.
What date was that, mate? What year?
This is last year. This
so 2021 you got into it?
At the start, probably late 2020.
Yeah.
Late 2020 cool. By the time I actually bought it, early 2021. And then mid-year, so essentially a year ago from today, Gary Vee ended up launching his NFT, VFriend Series 1, or the Genesis collection of 10,000 plus. That was the first ever fully NFT experience that I believe kicked off everything. And at the time, I had no clue what I was doing. And a lot of people come into this space, there's a lot of fear in this, because that was $4,500 at the time. It was 1/8 worth.
It's a lot for a picture, essentially.
It's a lot.
Like for a JPEG.
It's a lot. Essentially. I'm a student at the time, I'm working part-time, and this is me taking a risk and purely for the first time ever betting on Gary Vee. Why did I do that? Gary Vee has released content for free for decades. He has never asked for anything. He's put out shoes, wines, whatnot, but he's never shilled his own bags, because he doesn't need to. He does it through his own businesses. And this was the first time him saying, you guys are my community. Take a bet or educate yourself. And if it makes sense, do it. And I was like, you know what? I'm gonna do it. That ended up turning that 4,500 Australian or 1 ETH at a point I saw an offer come through OpenSea. For anyone that doesn't know what OpenSea is, think of it like the eBay for the NFT space.
That's how I describe it too.
that $4,500, I remember showing my dad this, and I showed him my phone, turned it around, and I was like, look at this. There's an offer for $70,000.
Wow.
For this NFT.
What's that, like a 12-13X?
I could press, if I press these two buttons, dad, right now, it's $70,000 in my MetaMask. And at that point, you remove emotion and you say, what's the long-term play here? What's the true long-term play here of why I'm getting into this space? And that's, yeah, it's a long-term space. Ended up transitioning into NFT Mel. Went to an event every Sunday, still on, called Feel Good Dips in Elwood. Everyone's welcome to come in Melbourne.
Shout out to Feel Good Dips.
And Sean and Ella. They have a phenomenal community of Melbourne. Think about the people that are going to a cold dip on a 7:45 in the morning. You got to be a little bit crazy.
Yeah.
Usually these individuals are doing other crazy things in life.
Yeah.
And I started talking about crypto and NFTs and ended up finding that a few of these individuals are in the space. So I was thinking, hey, why don't I, you know, follow on from this event and start, I throw it up on Eventbrite and Facebook, see who comes, get the Feel Good Dips crew in. The people that showed up that day changed everything. That event changed everything from November 2021, because that was the first time there was ever a meetup within Melbourne for a while. Now, quick shout out to GT and Jane from the Oshii community, the Oshii Gallery that's about to open up.
Yeah, because
they are the OGs in the sense that they ran an NFT event a while back at cafes, back when everyone thought this was a scam and no one was touching it. But to relaunch that was myself through NFT Melb. And that event, from that day, 8 people showed up, including a few Bored Ape Yacht Club holders. And we'll release those individuals one day.
Mm.
But the individuals that showed up that day, those 8 people compounded every fortnight from today by 30, 40%. Those 8 turned into 10, 12, 12, 15, 20, 30, 40. You came around 30, 40 rowdy as well,
yeah,
Nate.
Didn't we? Yeah.
And from that date till now, 110, 130, 180. It's like, oh, okay, there's something happening here. And then we're upgrading these standards of events and trying different avenues of focusing on artists, focusing on builders, focusing on collectors and investors. And that's the space that we're moving in right now as a collective. And now there's a team that's being brought up. There's a community that's being brought up, an in real life community. And now we're collaborating with individuals in Sydney, across the country. And
it's exciting.
Going to events like Blockchain Australia and throwing our own events and bringing everybody to one center space but essentially being decentralized in the manner that the community gets to decide and what they want to do with the event, what we want to do with the event.
So just a quick question. So just explain a bit better for our audience. So, I mean, we all know what NFT Melb is, you know, but I think just sort of like explain to people, because they don't really understand what, you know, NFTs, some people might not know what it is, right? So I just want you to explain it. What is the IRL and what do these events mean and the exposure that it gives, obviously you guys, but also the community. And I just want to share those special moments that we have at these events just with all of our listeners. So do you just want to dive a little bit deeper onto that?
NFT Melb, and when Rowdy says IRL, it means in real life events.
Exactly.
Because we are so much in the digital world of Twitter on Instagram, primarily Twitter and Discord is where NFTs live.
Mm.
So to have these IRL events is extremely important, because you're talking business, you're talking a lot of money on Twitter. So how do you translate that in real life and build a genuine connection with somebody by having these events? So the whole event is the landscape of the events are connecting, collaborating, creating. What are we creating? Creating new relationships, creating a culture of collaboration, which is the biggest thing out of everything. That could be collaborating on new ideas, collaborating on a project, or collaborating on sharing different alpha, sharing different ideas of, hey, I'm looking at this project, what are your thoughts? Because there's only so many projects one person can look at before your mind gets blown away. So
exactly.
if Max looks at 5, I look at 5, Rowdy, you look at 5, that's 20 collected projects. Yeah. Some of them are gonna match up. What are the green flags? What are the red flags? So the individuals that are showing up to these events, some of them are brand new, they got blank slate. Had a guy raise his hand. What's an NFT? Halfway through the talk.
Yeah.
It's like, oh wow, there's people that have known nothing. And you gotta slow, retract yourself and say, let's start from ground zero. This is an NFT, this is how to start. And then you have the opposite side of people that have been in the space for 3-4 years 10 years, some of them. And they're on the other side. They want to talk something different. They don't want to talk about what's an NFT intro. They want to talk about what seed round you're going to get in, what projects are popping off in Australia, what can we invest in together, what DAOs can we create, what projects can we build. That's the level some people on flying or driving. We had a team drive up, the Non-Essential Boys from Sydney. That
shout out to Non-Essential Boys and the Cyclo Turtles.
They purely drove down to Melbourne for our event. Yeah. Just to network, just to have the power
eight
of that.
8 hours they drove down from Sydney.
16 collectively.
Yeah, exactly. They drove down for 8 hours. The boys, I met them at NFT Sydney, about a month beforehand. Great guys. And then, they drove down. They hung around for maybe 3 or 4 hours and then drove 8 hours back. That's the dedication people are going through. The dedication that people are doing in this space just to be at these events, right? This NFT Melb space, really, really cool. And I love what you do and love, that I'm now a part of it. It's really, really exciting what we're building. But also, as you were saying, right, we're all living in this digital space, right? We went through COVID and, we learned to do a lot of things through Zooms and all these other things, but still living in that digital space. Us as humans, we thrive on human interaction.
Mm-hmm.
So when you get that space, get people like that, like individuals that are so passionate and dedicated to this in that room, like the energy and the vibe is just unmatched.
Speak on your first introduction. I'm speaking to Max here for everyone that's on audio. Speak on your first introduction to the event, because you really expressed to me what that meant for you at that time when you first entered the space. Explain that, because you were so involved in your room and crypto trading and just in that world, but it's your story, touch on it.
Yeah, so I was disconnected from the real world. I was on my PC, I literally sometimes 16 hours straight. There were even days where there will be moments where I would realize that I was at home for a week straight and I haven't even gone out, right? I was so deep into trading, especially when the bull market was on, and learning about NFTs and educating myself, because it is very thrilling when you see yourself creating wealth behind a screen, right? So when you experience that emotion will just drive you to being obsessed. But I have an obsessive nature. Whenever I touch anything, I'm obsessed. I want to perfect it. Now, the problem was that I was behind a screen and I was starting to realize that I was losing connection with reality. I needed that human interaction. I needed that touch. I needed that feel. I needed to talk to somebody in person, not through Zoom, not through, Twitter spaces and AMAs and through Discord and whatever. I wanted to actually be present in the moment with others that are like-minded. So one of my mates, Dylan, shout out to Extraterrestrials.
Shout out to Dylan, great guy.
He's an incredible, incredible gentleman, an incredible person. He, invited me to NFT Melb, right? So I wasn't gonna come. I was like, whoa, I got a lot of work to do, but I'm like, hang on a second, man, you need to go out and meet people, right? So I decided to come to this event and I went in, I had no idea who anyone was. But people were just welcoming. And I think a few people recognized me from the YouTube videos and on social media. So I got into a bit of a conversation with a few people and then I started to feel this energy. And I think this is why those guys drove 8 hours down, because you see the human emotion, especially when it comes to feeling connected, is very, very powerful. And when I was in that room, I just felt this natural connection to everyone. And I heard a few people speak. I saw the passion in people. I saw how much love they had for their art, because NFTs are, not just a non-fungible token. It's not just a contract. For some people, it's an art as well, because it is linked to a piece of art. And I noticed that there were a few artists there that were very passionate about their work. And then, because I always look at it from a monetary perspective, right? I look at it from trading. That's what I do. But I saw a different side to it. So essentially, I got talking to everyone. And one of my goals that I actually wrote in my diary was that I want to host events. That's my main thing I want to do. I want to get out and do that sort of stuff. get out of my because it gets me out of my comfort zone. So that was another reason why I thought I better come and see this. But then I connected with Daniel, and then I heard him talk, and I heard him his story a little bit, and it was like, ooh, wow. You've got these young entrepreneurs, you know, these young guys who are creating something of so much value, and I don't think a lot of I'm not sure if you even realize what you are doing here, but it's the foundations of something so big, something so grandiose that I think that the vision that you guys have is incredible, but I think it's going to take you and elevate you guys to an even further level. So that is what my experience was. And I was just motivated and I just loved the people and I connected with the people. And now we've got a very, very good friendship. And Daniel was the type of person to elevate everyone. And he turned around and said to me, yeah, you want to do events? Well, how about, you know, you want to do your crypto stuff? How about you talk about, you know, a little bit about crypto at you know, one of my events or whatever. Like, he's the type of person to help people around him. And that is one thing that I realized about this community. We're all elevating each other. The notion of individuality of, you know, it's just me against the world, that notion has to be wiped off the plate.
Exactly.
It's got to be gone. Yep. Because I can tell you right now, if, you know, if I'm successful in whatever it is that I'm doing, guess what? You guys are in my circle, in my inner circle. And there is nothing that I wouldn't do for you guys. Do you know what I mean? Because of the fact of the love that you guys have shown, the connection that we have built from this, it's incredible. Absolutely. It's, yeah.
Just to touch on just real quickly, your event, it is super special because this is how we all met, essentially, except you and I. But, but essentially, that's how we met. And it's crazy. I just love, like, I can second what both of you guys are saying. I just love what you're doing. And it just started with a simple idea. Not a simple idea, but it was just an idea. And I bet you, like, today, like, how many, 6 months later, 5 months later?
This is probably 6 months.
Six months ago. And seeing how far it's grown is absolutely insane. So hats off to you, bro. Yeah. Like,
yeah. It's beautiful to see the... There's two things that I love from these events on a more personal, selfish level.
Yeah, please.
It's one, the collaborations that come out of it, people building genuine business relationships. It's like, oh, these guys are collaborating on a play-to-earn game, collaborating on a larger project on a podcast. It's like, oh, this is beautiful to see. This is what I want to build. And then the second thing is individuals that create content at the event, like your vlog, that hit, for some reason, hits a different spot for me personally because I do that at other events. So when someone does that at my event, it's like, oh, they're getting that much value that they want to document this as part of their life. And to see that on TikTok through Ella or yourself through YouTube, phenomenal. Changes everything. It's like, oh, I have a personal responsibility to continually build this up. That's it.
Yeah. I love the networking side of things too. Like, I'm a massive networker. All of us are.
Yeah.
And I love that aspect. And I just love meeting new people, like-minded people that, like you said, that want to elevate each other.
Yeah.
You know, boost each other up.
Absolutely.
And I think just on what we're talking about, you know, Web3 is all about collaboration, right?
Mm.
I feel like, you know, that boomer mentality, that old mentality, like, fuck you, I'm going to build the biggest fucking, take all your business, like, it's me against the world, fuck the world kind of thing, where it's not about like that. Either. Our egos have gone.
It's gone.
Mm. And we're all about, cool, how do we help each other? How do we collab? How do we share the vision and build together? Like, that's it's such a positive, like, and reassuring experience coming into this space, and obviously what we're all doing as individuals, but as a collective as well.
Yeah.
It's like, man, it fires me the fuck up.
You know what's 100%. Fascinating? Max and I went to Blockchain Australia.
Yes.
Let's talk on that event because very important.
Yeah, cool.
Within events and the NFT space, we'll talk about that in Australia as well. We'll talk about Sydney. We'll talk about Blockchain Australia. For anyone that doesn't know, Blockchain Australia is a invite-only event for institutions, essentially, your large big brands, your ANZ, your banks, your sporting, your crypto, big corporate, essentially. Very hard to get into the events. I hustle my way into the events through another way.
Yeah.
I make it happen. I say I'm going to record a document. I message the founders. I find my way in. And I've obviously brought Max along too. What was fascinating about this event, the individuals that are representing these companies, they're the leading faces in terms of, they believe in the technology. They're the individuals that have to essentially convince everyone else in the corporation that this is going to change their whole business. The commissioners of the NBL, Cricket Australia, so forth. But what's fascinating about the institutions is they're now slowly starting to realize, oh, we need to collaborate. This is a bit different to how we normally do business.
Yeah. Web 2 to Web 3 is totally different.
Yeah.
Very, very fascinating. And you're speaking to the founder of Hedera Hashgraph. Talk on that and the people that you met at that event.
Yeah, so there were some very interesting characters there. There were other people who were other educators there as well, much larger than what I'm doing as well. There were other people who were representing XRP, Hedera Hashgraph. So I got talking to one of the individuals from Hedera Hashgraph. I forgot. Do you remember his name?
Negative.
I forgot his name, but he's someone.
Shout out to him anyways.
He's always talking. He's at the forefront for the Australian side of things. But anyways, I got talking to him about the technology and about their vision and what they see for Hedera Hashgraph. Mm. And it's interesting to get a perspective on exactly touching on what Daniel just said, is that you have all these representatives, you know, basically shilling themselves, saying that this is the direction that you should be heading and it's with us. But in the same time, I think the Web 3.0 space is, you know, and any corporation that is about to adopt a technology now is probably starting to think, oh, hang on a second, we could actually adopt multiple different, you know, technologies, right? Built on different systems that can at least communicate with one another. And so there is that collaborative aspect to it. And so, you know, I wouldn't be surprised if one company takes on board Hedera Hashgraph for one thing and XRP for another thing and, you know, Ethereum for something else.
That's why layer twos are being built. For anyone that doesn't know, like layer one is your Ethereum, Solana, your massive chains, and layer two is essentially built on top of that. There's an interesting term called that layer twos are built for
scalability.
Essentially, scalability and also niche markets.
Exactly.
Because you have individuals that don't have that high entry for Ethereum, but they may have Immutable X and no gas, and they can get in on those, which is very fascinating. NFT Sid, let's talk on that real quick. How about we talk about the NFT landscape within Australia, what's happening digitally that doesn't know what we're looking into Australia, what's happening in terms of landscape, individuals, art, let's do it.
Yeah, cool. So, it'd be about a month ago now, around about a month ago, we had an NFT Melbourne event on down here, but there was also an NFT Sydney event. So myself, Phoebe and Maze, part of the NFT Melbourne crew, we decided to ditch our NFT Melb crew here for the day and fly to NFT Sydney.
Love it.
Look, it was really, really cool. So we went up there. So picture this. It's in Barangaroo. I'm not too sure. I don't know the suburb.
What did you say?
Bangaroo or Barangaroo? I don't know. Anyway, so it's the old David Jones down there by the harbour in Sydney, right? So they'd gone there. They've renovated the space essentially overnight. You know, shout out to John, Simo and Carl. They've done a great job at putting this on. We went down there. There was probably about 100 to 200 people. I think, somewhere around that number. Anyways, it was two levels. Really, really cool. They had some great speakers on there. You know, the founders of Zedrun. They had, you know, Clement from Immutable. And then a whole bunch, you know, Joni. There was a whole bunch of really high-level speakers at this event. But there was also just some amazing individuals there, you know, talking to people in Discords and Twitter spaces, and then finally meeting them in real life. It's a very special moment, you know what I mean? It's kind of like blind dating, you know what I mean?
A little bit.
Wait, are you clouded, you know? Like, are you, Macy 599? So it's just like, but that's what it's like, right? It's really, really fun, but... they had this stencil artist down the bottom, and he was really, really good. But then upstairs, you know, it was very well put together. We went up there just for the day. You know, met so many amazing people. You know, the not essential guys. You know, Chaheen, Wubar, part of the Aussie Ape Yacht Club. So many amazing people that I met up there. And I still built these strong relationships with all these beautiful people. And it's just nice to go, you know, obviously what we're doing in Melbourne is very, very special. You know, it's on the cusp of something so big.
Yeah.
And it's just so exciting what we're doing. But to go to, you know, another city,
yeah.
And just see what they're doing and their scale and who their players are in the space, you know, who's who in the zoo and what they're doing. It's really, really cool. And I think, you know, look, we're far behind the rest of the world, right? Yeah. But you know what?
Super far.
Super far, but it's like we're catching up. And the Australian culture, like the people that who are getting involved and what they're doing, is super exciting. You know, that's how early we are.
How do you think someone starts? Like very basic, that
an event or
no more so to get into these networks, because we're talking about like a high level getting into these rooms.
Yeah.
How does somebody very basic? I just want to give some practical steps and learnings. How do you get into these?
You know what,
like in terms of digitally, where do you start?
I think I've got I want to sort of answer that question. Sorry. I think the best thing about this is you can go onto Twitter, right? And you can go and start a Twitter account, start following people. The cool thing about this space is the amount of access to high-level people that you have through these venues.
Yeah.
Discords, yeah. Twitter, any social media. I can reach out to, like, I've got in touch with some really high-level people and they've got no ego, no bullshit. They're just going, hey, mate, how can I help you?
I mean, when did you live in a time where you can contact someone from a company, their developer?
Yeah.
Or, you know, when could you have contacted someone from whatever department there is, their artist or whatever? You can through Discord, you can through Twitter.
Of course. And
it opens up that gateway, right?
Of course. And like in Web 2, going back, like not Web 2, or just social media, like Instagram, that you message someone famous or an influencer, like they won't even reply to you. They won't even open your DMs.
Exactly.
But the amount of people, and probably you're saying we've all seen, the amount of people that we've met that would be classed as a famous person, yes, or an influencer in pre this world, and you can connect with them and they're so open, just shows you how beautiful this space is and how welcoming everybody is. There's also toxic positivity, which we can touch on.
Yeah.
We can touch on later, but yeah, it's really, yeah.
It's, man, it's super special, right? So it's just like, if you're on the fence, to anyone listening to this who hasn't got into Web3, NFT, crypto, and you're thinking it's a scam, this and that, I mean, you guys all follow my social media, see how loud I am. I'm not too sure, and some of you might follow you guys as well, but it's just like...
I used to think it was a scam too.
Did you?
I did.
I never thought it was a scam. I thought it was something big. You know, I got into Bitcoin 2017 and then NFTs into 2020. And I remember when I a little quick background on me, but it's just like... you know, 2020,
yeah,
moved to Bali.
Let's touch on your story. All
right. We're 2020. Hang on. Before we do that, let me just finish off. let me finish off that question, right? So for anyone getting into this space, I mean, just do your research. There's an abundance of knowledge out there, right? There's an abundance of wealth. There's abundance. If you're sitting on the fence, it doesn't matter if you've got a couple of $100 or whatever, right? Just go out there and start networking. Reach out to me. Reach out to any one of us. Come to our NFT Melb events.
Absolutely.
You know, we are more than happy to help.
Introduce you.
Exactly. More than happy to help and educate everyone to get into this. Because I'm telling you right now, I've educated 4 people now that have changed their fucking lives, you know, in a matter of months. And now they're doing this either full time or just, you know, just it's completely life changing. I mean, Nate, you're a great example of that, you know. It's crazy. Look, you look
it is crazy. I do it full time now, but yeah, it's absolutely crazy.
Yeah, but it's, and remember, so,
speak on what that means, full time. Like for someone's like, what do you mean full time? What does that even mean in this space?
This is my income. This is what I do for a job. I trade. I flip NFTs. I buy, sell NFTs. I spot trade crypto. I'm starting to learn TA off this master over here, so I can pick up my trading game a lot more. But yeah, that's basically what I meant, like what full-time in crypto is, living off.
And it happened in a couple of months, right?
Yeah.
I was really loud to you and I said, you know, hey, he was being a life coach. I'd just sort of come back from Bali. I moved to Bali in 2020. And when I went over there, I met some beautiful entrepreneurs. They said, you know, NFTs. And I had that light bulb moment, right? And I was like, what's this NFT shit? You know, I'd been invested in crypto in 2017 and yeah, had a little bit here and there and went over there and I had that light bulb moment. For me, it wasn't the art. I was one of the first, one of 12,500 people, the first people on OpenSea at the time. Wow. Like it's huge. And I was like, what the fuck is this? Everyone's putting Pokemon this and that. I don't know what to buy. Anyways, NBA Top Shot came out, right? Ooh. Late 2020. And I said, that's a bulletproof brand. I understand a little bit about basketball. I went in there and I made a bunch of money. And I was like, all right, cool. I started flipping that. And then I went into OpenSea. I'm like, cool, let's fucking go. You know, like Rarible. I bought a couple of things on Rarible, but it was very confusing. But for me, I really understood the technology. And I was like, oh shit, this is going to change the Makes fucking sense. World. I got really, really loud on social media. I told people at the time, hey, this NFT shit, yeah, rowdy, whatever. They didn't believe me, right? Very, very hard when you believe in something so much and your friends, they're not my friends, but they were at the time. But you know what I mean? But they were, it's just, they didn't believe in me. They didn't understand what's going on. Now they can fucking see what's going on, yes. You know? And they missed out.
That's the barrier of entry for success in life, my friend.
It is,
you know? 100%.
You believe in something and others are going to put you down and actually discourage you. And it could be your family, it could be your friends, the closest people around you. But I think that is natural. I think that needs to happen. It's like a rite of passage. If you want to go through and elevate yourself and get to that point, guess what? You've got to overcome this obstacle, that obstacle. And if you hear and speak to entrepreneurs, right? You will hear the same story. It's reoccurring. Success leaves clues. And it's that thing right there you had to overcome. And when you did that, guess what? Now they're like, hey, Rowdy, you're my best mate. Can you help me out here?
These guys.
Oh, you're lucky now. Yeah, apparently you're lucky now.
Exactly.
Yeah. That's the other thing.
These people, you know, and they didn't believe in me. And you know, I don't really speak to them too much now, but you know, they occasionally reach out every now and then wanting to catch up for coffee. And I was like, I know that's a one-sided thing, right? Yeah. They're going, oh, well, let's catch up. And I'm like, why? Because you want to know what's hot and what's not.
Yep.
You don't want to know, you think I'm just going to make you millions of dollars.
Yeah.
But it doesn't work like that, right? Yeah. But you know, I came back, I think May 2021, still playing around with NFTs and obviously we'd become, you know, quite close and still kept in touch. And then I said, dude, you need to pay attention to this. And Nate was, he was like studying to be a life coach. Were you doing life coach? You'd just done a course. You built your own course. And I was like, dude, I love what you're doing. I love you. I love everything. But I was like, this is like once in a lifetime. Mm. You started paying attention to me. And then you're like, all right, cool. I'll give it a crack. And then you went and created a CoinSpot account.
You know what I didn't though, bro? And I think... I can't speak for everyone, but I think a lot of people, they're like, I don't understand it.
Yeah.
I don't understand. Like, myself, I know how I am. I either am all in or not at all. I go balls deep into anything, and I'm sure as we all do, or nothing at all. I don't do things half-assed. And I knew how far down the rabbit hole I would go. And I think, and also not understanding it. Like, I know you can research, you can do things, like, it's a bit, that's a lazy mentality, going, oh, I don't understand it. It's like, there's so much knowledge out there, there's so much information out there that you can learn, you know what I mean? But for myself, that's what it was, and I think for a lot of people, that's what it is. They're like, I don't understand it.
Because it's so confusing. Overwhelming.
It is overwhelming.
Very overwhelming.
I do it 24/7, I'm overwhelmed. I'm overwhelmed and I do it 24/7, you know what I mean? So yeah, I got into it and I just went, I actually bought a course because I think the quickest way to learn something, and I'm sure you all can agree, is learn off someone who already has what you have, you know what I mean? Like, and because there's people out there that are like, oh, why would you pay money for a course when you can learn on YouTube for free, you can learn on this, and I tell the people, well, go learn on YouTube. I want to get to where I'm getting quicker. Like, it's a fast track. When you pay the money, it's like you get what you pay for.
Invest in that person too, you know?
Yeah, of course. So I did, yeah, you're right. I did a crypto course and it taught me a lot. It taught me about Launchpad. That's where I got into DeFi. DeFi is decentralized finance. I got into that side of things. Then heard about NFTs in September. Actually, who did I hear about it off? Joe Parry's or Alex Becker? One of the two. But my first ever NFT was from BitBoy Crypto, that Pluto Alliance. I don't know if you remember. Anyway, started from that. And then my second project that I got into, I got lucky. They had a draw or a raffle for a car, a Dodge Challenger. And I actually won it.
Ooh.
What?
Yeah, man.
It rings me. We were supposed to, I just finished 75 hard and we were going out for celebratory drinks. And he's like, dude, I can't come. You know, it's all COVID. He was doing a bit rough, and he goes, "I just got no money." I was like, "That's cool, dude. Respect." And then what? You rang me up at 6 a.m, buzzing, and he's like, "Oh, I just ran the car." And I was like, "What?" He goes, "Bro, check this out.
Let's go
of this car." And I was like, "No." And he goes, "Yeah, it's either that or I get airdropped." What was it, 80th or something
like
that?
Yeah, just under 80th. But I they couldn't send it. Well, they could have, but it would have cost too much money.
Yeah.
Because it's coming from the
States.
You'd
rather the ETH anyway.
Yeah, I'd rather the ETH. And at the time, the ETH was at a good price. Well, I wish it was now because I would have got my... I wish it would have, should have, could have. It doesn't matter. It happened. And I'm grateful that happened because it really made me go into it like full time. I was doing it, but I was doing more coaching, my online course and stuff like that, more of that side. But this propelled me, pushed me forward into doing NFTs and crypto full time. Now I'm a full time degen.
I think it'd be awesome to do some hot takes around the room in terms of NFTs and how we're seeing the landscape run through.
100%. I actually wanted to touch on your story into crypto because I think we've all...
Yeah, you didn't touch base on what date you actually started, Max. So let's rewind to that.
Okay.
And maybe if you just sort of, you know, tell us a bit about yourself, obviously, and just sort of when you started and where you got to now.
Yeah.
You've got a really amazing story, so I'm sure everyone's, you know, really keen to hear it.
Yeah, man, for sure. I'll touch base on a few different areas. So essentially with me, just to give you a background story into my mindset, is that I like to go into things that I don't understand or don't know or make me feel uncomfortable. So there are a lot of things that I've done in my life that is to do with overcoming fear and overcoming something I don't understand, because when I was growing up, I faced a lot of adversities. There was a lot of challenges growing up. I didn't have that nice, you know, stable sort of home. It was pretty rough. And everything that I've built, myself. You know, no handouts or anything like that. But what taught me to become successful or to get to where I am today was to overcome fear. So what I did continuously was I put myself into situations that I would be in absolute fear of and just fucking do it and overcome it. From that, there are lessons that I learned. And some of the things that I learned was that this world that we live in has an abundance of opportunities. And there are always these new opportunities that present themselves, whether it's through technologies, whether it's through people, whether it's through whatever avenue, you know, life is or will bring you to. So at the time, I had a media business and I was working for a company called Rideaware. I was contracted to them. The owner of Rideaware was actually somebody... So his brother, Marco, he was in Forex trading. And at the time I was like, "Look, man, I'm pretty interested in learning how to trade. You know, would you teach me?" So he sort of like started me off and I started learning how to trade and everything like that. And at the time he was talking about crypto as well. And so he was getting into crypto. And I think this was around, this is going way back now. I think it's probably around about 2016 when that happened, 2016, 2017, something like that. So my Forex skills at the time were just so-and-so. I would make a little bit of money and then I would lose a bit of money, make a little bit of money. It wasn't something flashy or fantastic. Pips. So I kept gaining on that skill, right? And I just kept training and learning and learning and looking at the charts over and over again. And because I didn't understand it, I really wanted to know. There are people in the world that are sitting in front of a computer making money just by clicking buttons.
It's crazy.
Right? Think of it from that.
You're
clicking buttons and you're making money? Come on, man. I want to know how to do that.
Yeah.
Why can't I do that?
Exactly.
You know, what is it that I don't have? Well, it's the knowledge. You don't have the knowledge or the wisdom to understand that knowledge to then, you know, interpret it and make shit happen. So I started getting into Forex trading. And I went, you know, balls deep with that. And I ended up, you know, educating some people as well in doing some courses and whatever. And I was still working there. I got over the whole media business and it was fantastic. It was probably the best 2 years of my entire life. It was so much fun. And then I was like, it's time for a new challenge because I don't like to look at life in a sense that, you know, this is who I am and that's it. I want to expand who I am. I want to experience things, and I'm not afraid to lose. I'm not afraid to lose wealth. I'm not afraid to lose status. I don't care about those things, right? So I went and decided to join the French Foreign Legion, because the French Foreign Legion, those soldiers scare the shit out of me. They are some hardcore motherfuckers, right? Mm. And I'm like, they scare me. And they scare me a lot. And when I really thought about that, that pissed me off. So anyways, I ended up going to a Tony Robbins event, Date with Destiny. After that, he talks about taking action, right?
Yep.
I took action. I was like, all right, I'm going to the French Foreign Legion, I've decided. So I started training, and I couldn't run a K, right? I couldn't run a mile. So here I am, David Goggins podcast in my ear, motivating myself. And I remember at the time I was a smoker, and David Goggins said something, and it was at that moment where it just triggered me, and I just took one last drag, and I just dropped it on the floor. I shouldn't have lit it, but I did. But it was really like, you know, intense moment. Grabbed it, popped it on the floor, and I decided, you know what? I'm never gonna smoke again. This is it. And I started jogging, got to 500 meters. My lungs are burning. And I'm like, damn, oh my God, I can't breathe. I can't breathe. So anyways, next day I run 1K, and then I run 1.2Ks the next day after that. And then I take a rest, and then I come back and I do 2.5Ks. And then I take a couple of days rest, and I come back, do another 2.5Ks. Did that for a couple of weeks. Then I push it to 5Ks. And I just kept pushing myself. Then I was like, all right, I need to learn how to swim. So all it is, right, and what I learned with success is that if you want to prepare yourself something, or if you want to achieve something, it's just one brick at a time.
Yeah.
That's all it is, one brick at a time.
Consistency.
One small thing, and you keep building upon that and building upon that. So then I kept pushing myself, training myself. I got to a point where when I was running 10Ks in the morning, right? Every couple of days, 10Ks in the morning, cycle to work, cycle back from work, go to the gym, train, weekends, go out hiking, put my backpack on, you know, put about 20, 30 kilos in it, go hiking up the mountains in Morialta up in Adelaide. I did about 6 months of that. And then I was like, all right, cool. I think I'm ready to leave. I think I'm ready to do this. So I decided to leave. But in the same time, I'm still trading as well. I'm still trading, still understanding the markets, reading books about psychology. This shit doesn't fucking happen overnight.
Mm-hmm.
You gotta, so if you want to build multiple things, be consistent at those multiple things. So I kept trading. And then my friends kept making money in crypto. And so one of my mates, he's like, right now, bro, it's the time to buy. Get in, get in, get in. I'm like, bro, what's this crypto stuff, man? I can understand commodities. I can understand Forex. Do you know what I mean? But stocks and this and that, what's crypto? Because I didn't have the understanding of what the technology was. And I heard from other people, right? It's a scam. Mm. It's a fad. It goes up and down. It's too volatile. But although I understood that volatility is actually a pretty good thing for traders, right? You want that volatility to catch, your pips. But long story short, I end up going to France because I thought to myself, well, I was starting to make a bit of money on Forex as well too. I was, you know, a couple of grand every single month, and I go, that's pretty good. I could do this, and I can go to the French Foreign Legion, and I could trade, because the Legion pays you fuck all, right? it's nothing. They pay you peanuts. So I was like, I'm happy with that. I'm comfortable with that. That'll be okay. That meets the standards of my life at that time.
Yep.
All right. So I went to the French Foreign Legion, I trained, and it was, it was crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's not like this military. I was in the Air Force as well when I was 18. I was in the Australian Air Force, but it's nothing compared to that, man. They beat the shit out of you there. They tell you that they don't. They tell you that those practices have stopped. Bullshit. They will beat the shit out of you there.
Yeah, wow.
In there, when an officer or, you know, your sergeant or your corporal talk to you, you got to stare at them right in the eye. You break eye contact.
Oh, shit.
You're going to cop it, man.
That's heavy.
Yeah.
That's heavy. Real intense. Some of the best trained troops in the world, right?
I don't think they're the most best trained troops at all.
Some of them.
I think they're the most disciplined. There's a difference.
There's a difference.
Fear
that gets instilled.
So what they do is they break you down. So they take men that are motivated, that are hungry, all right, that are in survival mode as well, because you're taking people from all around the world. They don't accept people from France. They accept foreigners only. So they take in as well the rejects of all the other militaries in the world, those who have been kicked out, those who have criminal records. It is
the dirty dozen.
The dirty dozen, right? This is a mercenary group.
Yeah.
Okay? This is a mercenary group. That's what they go for. The French Foreign Legion is designed so when the Australian Defence Force or the United States don't want to go into combat because they know they're going to have high casualties, because that's what their intel report tells them to, tells them that's what might happen, they send the legionnaires in.
Here's this pretty
They don't send special forces in, they send legionnaires in.
And were you not afraid, like you weren't, it didn't cross your mind that you could be called into action and you could die?
I had a plan. Okay. I had a plan. All right, to only go there for 12 months and then escape. That was my plan.
More for the training.
I just went for the training.
And the mental side of things, yeah, and the mental toughness. Okay.
That's all I wanted to go. I wanted to go and face my demons. I had no intention of being a soldier and getting deployed or anything like that. My intention was to go there for 12 months because nobody actually knows this. Now you guys do. In the French Foreign Legion contract, there is a clause. From the day that you enter and 12 months. in the contract, it says that in 12 months' time, you're actually allowed to discharge. You only have one day, one opportunity. Mm. Yeah.
One shot.
If you catch it or let it slip. I was trying to remember the lyrics. So anyways, look, so that was my intention, right? Face my fears. It was a crazy experience. I'm not going to touch on some of the stuff that happened. I met some incredible people there that I'm still friends with till this day. And I got some guys there that I've already fought battles and fucking hell. It's some crazy stuff that happened. So then moving on, I come back, I go into another company, I work for another organization, I learn, I'm still trading. It's taken me a couple of years now. And then another 2 years go by, I'm still trading. And then I start getting into crypto, right? So I see one of my mates buying a Ferrari, I see another mate buying a Lamborghini and he's paid off a house. And I'm like, and another mate of mine, he's just absolutely disappeared. I have no idea where he is, but he was in Bitcoin like in the early days, right? And he was always like talking about it, but we always thought that he was a shit talker, just a bit of a loudmouth, right? So I start diving into it and I'm like, all right, what's happening in the world? Where is this, like, what is the next thing? And then I looked at technology. I'm like, we've got to look at the tech space because this is advancing really fast. So what's happening in the tech space that as an investor, because I came across a bit of money from Forex trading, I'm like, what can I invest in? And then I was like, all right, let's look into this crypto thing. Let's look into crypto. And then there was NFTs at the time as well that was starting to pop up. And I started researching and getting into it. And then that's when I had an aha moment. You know how we all have that moment and we realize that this is the technology that has the potential of disrupting the financial system, has just the way everything is constructed, because everything is moving to a digitized world. And you know, to bridge that gap, and how do we achieve that? It's through these types of technologies, DLTs and blockchain technology, and then the creation of NFTs and whatever like that. So I got into investing. And then I went on social media and then I started posting some of my trades. A few people were like, hey man, you need to keep this up because I've made some money from your trades. And I just kept doing it, Good. It did. Yeah. I felt a lot of satisfaction because, you know, these people are creating wealth for themselves and they're starting to discover what it's like to have financial freedom. Because I got pretty fortunate because I started trading and I started making some pretty decent bags. And then that's when I started looking at also investing as well and just buying and holding bags. That actually revolutionized and changed my whole perception on cryptocurrencies, because that's when I became de-stressed, because trading is extremely stressful when you're doing futures trading. There's a difference, guys. Futures and spot trading is completely different. Spot trading is you go into the market, you buy your crypto, you hold it, and you know it's unrealized value, unrealized profit. So if it goes down, you just hold it until it eventually goes back up. And if you have the balls, you hold it until it goes and does your 1x, 2x, 3x, 5x, whatever it is you want, as long as the project is fulfilling its promises. On the other hand, when it comes to futures trading, you enter a position, and if it goes below your position, you can get stopped out or lose your money. And then you will lose a small percentage of your gains if you don't know what you're doing. If you know what you're doing, you'll only lose a small percentage. If you don't know what you're doing, like me, one time I lost 10 grand in one go like that. But that's another story, right? You, as a trader, you lose money and then you end up becoming successful. Mm. So then come down to crypto education, all these people are taking my trades. I start doing it for a year and everyone starts making money. And then I put out on Instagram, like, hey guys, if you guys want to learn what I learned, I've actually created a program around this. Would you guys be interested in doing it? And the amount of DMs I got was insane. So I had to go through a filtration process of interviewing people. And that's what I did with you, right? I interviewed you before I even went in. And the reason for that is because you need to understand that you have to have a particular mindset. You have to understand the basic fundamentals, right? This crypto space and NFT space is extremely lucrative and you can create exceptional amount of wealth. Now, the technology is also fantastic, but it's progressing. And a lot of the stuff is in testnet. That's what I would call it, right? It's in a beta phase. The whole crypto is in a beta phase. That's what I think. And some of these projects are more superior than this, but it has its pros and cons. Like Ethereum, we all know that it's got scalability issues, but all the capital is there. So why would you go anywhere else?
Yeah.
Unless you don't need the capital, unless you've got something that's has such high data and throughput, you can't use that technology and you need to go onto something like DAG Constellation, which I recommend you all do your research and look into, which is, I think, is an incredible project. And yeah, man. And then essentially people are starting to realize you can get financial freedom from this. And so we go back to why people come into crypto. A, you've got the community aspect. That's what NFTs have opened up.
Yep.
You meet like-minded people, you're trading, you're sitting in front of a computer, but where's the physical interaction? Mm. That's what that fulfills, right? It satisfies that need that we have of human connection. That's what you're doing, Daniel, man. It's incredible, you know? Like I could tell you right now, I'm elevated because I come to these events and because I'm surrounded by you guys and I'm not in front of a computer. And I'm so grateful for it. And you created that opportunity. And B, you've got the other aspect of it where you're creating wealth. And that, you know, bit of greed, make a bit of money. But you know what? We want financial freedom as well. We want to get out of that 9 to 5. But your needs work, requires work. You need to do research. You need to break through that thing. So the reason why I brought up my past is because learning crypto can be overwhelming, like you said. It can be daunting. But if you break that mental barrier and just put yourself in that unknown and you teach yourself and you push yourself, you start to realize, holy shit, I can do this, A. B, this is incredible. And C, I'm starting to create wealth from this and I'm starting to meet people from this. Mm. Are you kidding me? Mm. On the other side of pain and fear, anxiety is...
greatness.
It is.
Yes. Yeah. Love that.
That's the point I'm just trying to make, boys.
Yeah. Yeah. I love that story. Yeah,
I love it.
Yeah.
It doesn't kill.
Do you mind telling our listeners, like...
Well, sorry. What year was that? Did you get into it?
You know, to pinpoint it, when I bought my first crypto was in 2017,
yep.
Right? But I had no idea sort of like why I was buying it. I think I bought at the peak and it kind of just went down.
Yep.
It was a bit different. Some similar concepts to Forex trading, but I just bought some bags, right? Because I was just spot trading. It's like, cool, I'll just buy some crypto. Went down and then I saw it go down quite drastically. And then I saw that recovery, right? And it came to sort of break even. And I'm like, hang on a second. Let me analyze these charts now. And I started analyzing it properly. Actually put in effort for the first time. You know, I didn't care about it before. Now it got my attention because all my mates started creating all this wealth because they bought in at the bottom and they wrote it up. And I'm like, all right, I'm going to get into this now before the next bull run. And, oh, man. And so the last bull run, I was in it.
That's what I was going to say. How much, what did you start? Do you mind telling our
listeners? I started off with 5K.
5K?
Yeah. It went up to six figures, man.
Let's go. Yeah.
Let's go.
Oh, 5K.
But
that's years of...
That's years. But I understood to go into one project and sell, right? So people hold and they don't know when to sell. So I got in. Mm-hmm. I got in the right time, sold at the right time, got out. Used that same methodology with the next project. I saw that break of structure. I looked at all my technical indicators. It lined up. I got in. I saw that bearish break of structure. I saw the technical indicators say that it's going the opposite direction.
Now I know what you're talking about.
Whilst the market was saying Bitcoin's going to 300K. I was like, no, it's not. And I went on social media and on my Twitter, I was like, Bitcoin's about to come back crumbling down. You better get out. And one of my other students, I told him, Chris, And he's doing the course now as well, because I message him, I go, dude, you need to get out. He goes, man, I'm getting in. Oh. I'm getting warmed up. I'm
Because everyone thought it was going 100K, but like off that last breaker structure, that bearish one, I know the one. I know the one you're talking about, because I was charting it this week. And yeah, you had got the three confirmations you need to get.
I need to get the hell out. Exactly. And so I got out and I just kept doing it and doing it. So one project went from 5K to like 20K. Then after that, 20K into like, you know, 80, and then from 80 it just went on, and from that went on and went on. And I was God damn it, this is like stealing candy from a baby. But it took me years to get there, right?
And I think that's what people don't hear, right? It's like, one, you should always have an exit plan, but two, and look, there's some overnight millionaires in the space, and you know, congratulations to them. I think a lot luck plays a part in that.
Of course.
But you know, like, I mean, we've all been in the space for a long time now, and it doesn't happen overnight. Look, yes, you can make some good gains overnight, short term. But what we're learning here is going to pay long term dividends in 5, 10, 20 years. Those will be considered experts, pioneers, OGs, whatever you want to call us, in this space, right? Now we're already getting companies in Australia like knocking on our door going, hey, you know, what do you know about the space? This and that. So I think back to what you were saying, Daniel, let's go around and I want to hear each of our individual opinion of where what we see happening in Australia in the next 12 to 24 months. So, all right?
Yeah, 12 to 24 months.
That's a good question. Daniel, we'll start with you. What do you think is going to happen in the next 12 to 24 months? What's your hot take on the current hot market take, and sort of where it's evolving?
Corporations will start trying to... They're doing it now. They're looking at contracts and how to integrate contracts into their own corporations in terms of smart contracts. That's a very long term play, so maybe at the tail end of that 24 months people will start entering it a bit more. With the regulation coming, real estate will be able to, they'll have some tight-knit regulation around real estate and how to, cause people are trying to turn houses or apartments into DAOs and just renting them out like that, or having an ownership of an apartment fractionalized as an NFT. So 100 of our mates all own an apartment here, that's something like that.
I think
that's coming.
Yeah, I totally agree with that. I think just quickly on that, you know, a house, a mortgage is an agreement. It's a contract. So now it's just a smart contract, which is just a contract on the blockchain written in code, right?
All contracts will be in on the blockchain. Totally, that's guaranteed. Agree. That's not like if, ands, or buts. It's just when.
It's happening.
It's when, just it's just purely when. It's going who does the regulation, right? And Australia is doing, when we're talking about how Australia is behind, in terms of regulation, we're ahead. Out of everyone in the world, we're doing extremely well. Top 5-10, I would say. Other hot takes. Melbourne has one of the most creative cities in the world. In saying that, the people that understand NFTs are artists and creatives. One, because they understand ownership of their artwork and their creativity, and they say, hey, we can get paid in perpetuity for this for generations. Not just you, generation. That's generational wealth on the blockchain that can't be taken away. Imagine Leonardo's kids getting paid for his painting to date to now, continuously getting reoccurring payments. Imagine that. That's going to happen a few thousand years from now. That's a trippy to think about.
Oh, man.
Other short terms. Oh, let's make this a bit selfish. Like in terms of you guys, Max growing a phenomenal crypto educational platform, NFT Melb, expanding across Australia, potentially New Zealand, these collectives being built out and niche for people's price of entry for what they can enter in. Maybe it's $100, maybe it's $1,000. There's going to be these new clubs developing. What I hope to breed from that is collaboration, like you were saying, not a closed circle of you can't get in, that clicky tall poppy syndrome, but that open exclusivity, still a bit of both. These clubs will be developed continuously, and you'll have your niche, you'll have your beefy blokes, you'll have your artist sectors, your development sectors, and everyone's going to play their part in Melbourne and Australia.
Yeah, exactly. Max, what's your hot take on the market next 12, 24 months?
Okay, well, mine's a little bit gruesome.
just a short thing.
Look, the whole economy right now, in regards to what's happening in the markets, in the general markets we're talking about, even outside crypto, it's a little bit unknown interest rates, rate hikes, and all that sort of stuff that's happening at the moment, trying to combat recession. I'm pretty sure that Europe is kind of already in a bit of a recession as it is. I'm just concerned about what might unfold in the next 12 to 24 months in regards to that. That's going to really dictate innovation, in my opinion, and dictate where the direction of the general market is going to head. At the moment, I'm on the sidelines. I'm not even trading or buying any crypto. I've got everything in my stable coins waiting for that moment on the chart, what I told you to then get in. But in terms of what's going to happen in the community, I think Daniel is going to help get Melbourne educated in the sense of what NFTs are and who these artists are and what this technology can also do. My plan is to also work alongside with Daniel to be able to do that with people and to also educate them on cryptocurrencies and blockchain technology and hashgraph technology and everything like that. So I think from that selfish perspective, I think we want to elevate anyone in our circle, and we want to help that community here in Melbourne and then hopefully Australia, New Zealand, to grow and become knowledgeable in this space. But where the general market is heading at the moment is a little bit unknown. Mm. So I'm not going to really say that this is what's going to happen, because I'll tell you one thing, and I just want to say this. Nobody knows where Bitcoin is going to head.
Exactly.
Stop right. telling people that Bitcoin's going to 200-300K. Whatever the charts tell us, the charts tell us, okay? So, and if you guys don't know how to read a chart and you're going off just by community sentiment, sure, that's only gonna get you so far, but I can promise you that you're gonna lose in the overall game.
Yep.
So essentially, yeah, nobody knows how to, nobody knows where the direction of the market is gonna go, whatever the charts tell us is gonna do. So we're gonna be ready, prepared for that when the time comes.
Yep. Yeah, thanks for sharing that, Max. I think there was, That's a great sort of analogy of what's going on, and it's really important. I'm going to shoot it over to you, Nate. So what's your hot take next 12, 24 months? What does that look like? And in terms of market trends, what do you think is going to happen? Give us your hot take.
Yeah, sweet. So I think we see serious mass adoption in Australia over the next 24 months, because as we've seen, like we're seeing ads for crypto.com, CoinSpot everywhere, football teams like Western Bulldogs, they're sponsored by CoinSpot. Like this is literally in the last 6 months. Like when I got into crypto last year, like people heard about crypto, but it wasn't getting shilled on radio stations, in sports, like sponsorships in sports teams.
Like marketing.
Yeah, marketing side of it. And we're seeing a big push. So I see massive adoption here in Australia, like in the next 12 months. And we're seeing more people talk about it, and ties nicely into what you're doing, the NFT Melbourne event, and what you're creating, because more and more people are going to come in like over the next year, and like your events are going to grow to 1,000+. I can see that personally. I'm not just saying that, I can see it personally. So also I know this is a bit out there, but I think we could see a stable coin for the Australian Ooh, dollar. I
know. CBDCs.
Well, that's already been taking place, actually. It's funny you say that. So ANZ is the first bank in the world to launch their first central bank digital currency, CBDC.
Shout out to Joseph.
And shout out to my man Joseph who done that. Yes. He's very, very smart guy. He done well on that. But yeah, I mean, look, dude, I think that's a great hot take on it. Did you have anything else?
Yeah, there? I just with NFTs, I think because I've been more in the NFT side of things and what I've seen and what I've studied over the last 6 months, we're seeing more projects. So like the Proof Collective, like real founders that have projects that have a track record, a proven track record, that have business experience. Because what we see is a lot of these projects that have a lot of hype, NFT projects, they sell out, they make millions of dollars. They've never seen that money before. They've never invested that money before. They've never had a business of that value, that valuation before, and they don't know what to do, and they drop the ball. And this is what we see in these projects, like massive drop of the ball. So I think we see more founders, more well-known founders that are coming into the space that have that proven track record in their business, like I said, the Proof Collective with Kevin Rose and Ryan Carsten, like they've got a massive track record. And Wes, yeah, so I see the progression of these sort of clubs, like, and you can call them alpha or whatever you want to call them, like these massive groups that have founders with proven track record. And we're seeing also like tools, more and more tools coming out, like sniping tools for NFT, just anything for NFTs, like trading tools, rarity, like you name it, any tool, nodes, like private nodes. We saw the Just Cubes project. I won't go fully into that, but they have their own private node if you buy their NFT.
Yep.
So I see the progression of more tools, more solid foundation-backed projects that have utility from day one. Not like, because...
not realized promise
utility. Yeah, so it's NFT, like this whole NFT NFT projects is like reverse capitalism. It's like you're investing all this money. They're getting all this money at the start off an idea. They haven't even built anything. Most of these projects haven't even
built. Crowdfunding.
It is. It's reverse capitalism. It's crazy, you know? And that's why we see, like I said, all these projects failing, and because they don't know what to do. They've never had that money, you know? And it's crazy money when you think about it. Mm. But we'll see the progression of utility-based projects from day one, yep, straight off the bat. And that's where I can see that's things good, going. I could go on and on, and
yeah,
well, this is a topic I could talk about for...
I think it's a great hot take. I agree with certain parts of that. My sort of vision over the next 12 to 24 months is... a hyper adoption phase, as you were saying, Nate. We're definitely going to see that. The thing that we're already starting to see now, and the thing that I've been focusing on for a while now, is that digital, which is that physical and digital worlds colliding. So brick and mortar businesses, you know, hospitality, cafes, bars, restaurants, memberships. So you're talking Ticket Tech, AFL, you know, all these big sporting brands, they're all jumping into NFTs. Right, so big corporations, you know, as you were saying, Daniel, they are going to utilize it more. Cool. So how do we utilize it more? Right, so NFTs, you can utilize it as a membership, a ticket, you know, all sorts of different ways, profit distribution models. There's so much stuff that you can do, because at the end of the day, an NFT is a smart contract, so you can put whatever you fucking want in that contract, right? That's the beautiful thing about it. So that's what's going to happen in my vision next 12 to 24 months, you know. The kids of the future, right? What do you think the fucking kids are doing? They are looking at NFTs. You know, I'm watching kids on YouTube, also at social media, 12 years old, 16 years old. Indigo, how old is she?
12.
She's 12. Made her own NFT project. What the fuck are you guys doing not getting into this fucking space? You know, it's these kids of the future, what are they doing? You follow the trends, right? And if you get in early, you can see what they do and you can capitalize on it. So I think here in Australia, yep, we're going to see a hyper adoption phase. A lot more people are getting more interested in it right now, right? They're starting to, you know, coming to NFT Melbourne events, going to this. And then, you know, there's more events coming up now. You know, we've got Vivid Sydney coming up with just future art. That's really, really cool. And then, you know, we're working on some cool stuff with NFT Mel. There's a lot of other, you know, people doing some cool stuff. You know, shout out to Theo at Lucky NFT. Those guys are doing some really cool stuff.
Amazing things in the next 24 months. Exactly. For sure.
Sort of larger scale sort of festivals and stuff like that. And, you know, we're working on some stuff in New Zealand. Yeah. So stay tuned. But, you know, and then like you guys know this, but, you know, I've got some investors and we're looking at, you know, doing a pub, right? And everyone's going, oh, how's that going to work? Well, the vision that I've got is just like a hub where you go, right? There's TVs all over the place, sharing NFTs, what's coming up, you know, you have your trivia nights. It's that Melbourne feel, that trivia, pub trivia, but it's blockchain trivia, NFT, stuff like this. And I think once we do this and execute it properly, this will start trending. You watch all these other venues, not just in Melbourne, but across the country, start taking action.
Across the world.
Across the world. But it's world.
Essentially, yeah. Everything will be an NFT.
Yeah, exactly. Everything's going to be a fucking NFT. There was a collaboration.
You're not even going to know it's an NFT.
Exactly.
No,
if you understand flybys, you understand NFT.
Exactly. 100%. But it's like, you know, Monkey Shoulder, the bourbon. We looked at it yesterday. They've collabed with someone with the Bored Ape, right? So you pay $550, you get an NFT of it, but you also get the bottle delivered to your house. Like, how cool is that?
Yeah,
through the blockchain. Well, so anyways, guys, I think that's a really great hot take. We've probably gone over time here, but guys, thanks for coming on.
Yeah, thank you so much, guys. We appreciate it.
We hope you guys got a lot of value out of this
episode.
Absolute
pleasure. Peace and love.
Peace and love.
Much love.
Peace, guys.